Children, you're dismissed. I've had the privilege of Noah living in our house. Children, you're dismissed. I've had the privilege of Noah living in our house, and that boy has some energy. Just a scotch. 20 minutes to game time. I'm sure that doesn't affect anyone in this room. We'll have updates, score updates throughout. No, I'm just kidding. First of all, with young adults, the Jim and Lynette and Chad and Megan and myself and Tammy are rebooting back up. And one of the things that was exciting was Lynette came to me and said, you know, young adults need family. They need a place to just share. It doesn't have to be a service. And she goes, I want our home to be a starting point for that and do that. And so I was like, well, how many people in your house? And they're like, well, 20. So if he grows, Chad and Megan will start another. So we're going to go a home group style for a couple, just grow from that and see what happens and gets that connection. And one of the things that I realized that young people, they have two questions. Where am I going to work and who am I going to marry? It's usually the two prominent questions that they're really concerned about. And when they're asking each other, they probably don't get the best counsel. Elijah, who should I marry? I don't know. Right? So maybe a generational vision when it comes to that age group and to doing that and seeing that come forth can be helping that answer. Because I do believe those are some two big decisions as you're trying to sort those things out and figure that out. Figure out life as you grow in that. And then with the Activate service, I've been feeling for a while, and we're going to share on it on Saturday, about the poverty spirit. And poverty, I'm going to say something, might you be like, what, Jim, I know you're a little weird, but poverty has nothing to do with money. Poverty is a mindset. And the mindset is there's not enough. Because you can be rich and still think there's not enough. Now, if God is a God of abundance, and you have that mindset, could that be a cause of your anxiety? Could that be a cause? So anyway, again, that's Sunday. That's just a little commercial, little teaser. So you want to come Sunday night, Saturday night on the 5th. We're going to talk about that. We're going to take some time. We're going to minister around that. That maybe there's some things that could be broken off in your life that have hindered you from being able to walk in the fullness of who God has called you. Because you believe that there's just not enough. There's just not enough. And break that mindset that says that there is, and then you are able to walk in that. So that's, please come Saturday. Oh, it's going to be a crazy Saturday because GL is going off for 4 days to do a Microsoft. So I think some are actually checking it or doing some work in the morning, coming back, doing the service. Then we're all leaving, and we start work Sunday morning. So it'll be an exciting time. Myself will be included. I get to direct people and Microsoft campus. What an exciting Sunday. Woo, can't wait. I've been, you know, we've been talking the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks about leaving the island. And that was in relationships of the church. But I think sometimes we as Christians become islands. And it's easy to live in a world that says, if it doesn't affect my everyday, it's really not that important. I got my ballot. I'm looking over all these things. I'm like, does this really affect me? Like initiative, blah, blah, blah. Or I don't know, the justice. Who is this person? Does this affect my world? The easy answer is to say no. I'm gonna wake up the next morning next to my wife and my kids, and we're gonna be the same weather. Whatever happens on Tuesday, after Tuesday, it's not gonna affect anything. I could easily just keep living life, just keep going along and doing that. Anybody ever watch Spider-Man? What happened once he found out he got bit by the spider? He died. He started to realize that, oh, wait, I got these powers. He entered in, you know, in the movie version. He entered in the cartoon version. I wasn't a comic book because that involved reading. So I went to the self-explained versions. He entered into a wrestling contest. And he won. And a guy steals the money. He decides, yeah, not on me. But the guy that steals the money later steals a car. Who happens to be his uncle's car. And kills his uncle in the process of stealing the car. And he realizes, if I would have done something, then he catches the guy. And he realizes that if I would have done something sooner, I could have prevented my loss. He had a moment there to the actions cause change. Decisions cause reactions that have effect. And so what I want to talk about this morning is the process of maturing. Ooh, what? How does that tie in? Scripture says in Romans that the whole earth cries out for the sons of God, the revelation of sons of God. But do you realize in Scripture, sonship wasn't given? You got to grow into it. They're in their culture. You didn't, just because you're the son of so-and-so didn't mean you're going to inherit everything so-and-so had. He had to find you worthy to be a son, a weos, mature. The thing that we see in Matthew when Jesus comes to the fulfillment, the skies open, was a weos ceremony where God's saying, this is my son and whom I'm well pleased. And he gives them all authority. How many weoses are operating in the church? Mature sons and daughters of the King with authority to do bidding on his behalf. Well, where are you on that process? Are you activated to a point of your great fulfillment? Are you walking in the fullness of what God's called you to? Or are you still? I love Paul. You should be overwhelming victors. How many are feeling that on a daily basis? I mean, I'm like Archbishop, man. I'm just killing everybody. It's 70-0. It's a football team up north that everybody's afraid to play because they destroy them. Are you walking in that level of victory? Well, why not? Because God doesn't love you? Because you got too much sin in your life? No, because we're immature. We haven't embraced the steps of maturity. Maturity just doesn't happen. See, here's an interesting thing. We have put years of service. I'm a 30-year Christian. Doesn't mean you're 30 years mature. I've been saved at the church when we walk around. We declare all our goodness. We declare all the things. I was here before Pastor Dave was even a pastor. I was even here when the church pointed that way. When there was stained glass. When we had a school. AC. I was here when the parking lot was gravel. Orange chairs. Pews. I've been here. Great. Thank you. Appreciate it. Have you matured? Have you grown? Did you grow in those years? Are you farther along in your faith? Or are you still stumbling over the same things? Our text this morning is going to be Hebrews. Let's start in chapter 5, verse 11. Concerning him, I have much to explain. But since you have become dull of hearing, for you, by this time you ought to be teachers, you have someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracle of God. For you have come need of milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes in milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For solid food is for the mature. Whoever becomes practiced in this, their senses become trained, and they're able to discern good and evil. Verse chapter 6, therefore leave the elementary teachings behind of Christ. Press to maturity. The title of my message today is The Press. You want to become mature, you're going to have to press. There's got to be a press in you to grow. I'm not a gardener. I grow good things. There's certain things that I grow really well. Moss, mold, mushrooms. The things that take no work. Weeds, I mean, I'm good at weeds, man. I can grow a nice garden of weeds. But to really grow something, you got to tend. You got to work. You have to cultivate. Just a few things of that scripture that I just read that stuck out to me. They were dull of hearing. They came to need just milk. I have a funny story once. Lexi was just born, and Tammy said, I just got to go to the store. It was early on, and I said, well, do we have anything? Oh, she should be fine. I just fed her. She's good. Within minutes. I mean, this cute, I mean, when she was born, she was 3 pounds, 15 ounces, just miniature. She couldn't even wear, like, baby clothes. We had to get, like, doll clothes. And she's probably, like, 4.5 pounds now. This scream that came out of this box, this little, for a minute after minute, I'm just like, what do I do? I'm holding her, walking around. I'm calling, I'm texting. I'm like, get home. Nothing I could do could satisfy. I was unable to provide what she needed. Oh, and God, I was so happy. Take her. I mean, I tried to give her food, and it didn't work because she wasn't old enough. I mean, I even tried to reason with her. If you just stop, I'll give you whatever you want. You can have an iPhone when you're 13. Whatever you want. Just stop. She had need for milk. But how many of us aren't wanting to leave that place of comfort? We're not wanting to grow. We're not wanting to stop. You know, one of the interesting things, one of the things when they crossed the Jordan, what's ceased? Manna. It's not coming free anymore. You want to live in your inheritance? You're going to have to tend for it. You're going to have to work for it. Works become a four-letter word. Work's a part of the curse. No, work was God's design. It was ordained by God. You want to be mature? You might have to work. There might be a lot of days of working. And what's funny is people that like to work, they don't find it challenging. They don't complain about it. I had a guy, his name was Larry. Larry, when I left Home Depot, was 82 years old. He said he's worked every day in his life since he was 16. He goes, I don't even think I've taken a vacation day. Because I love to work. He goes, I'll work every day of my life. He has two pensions plus Social Security. He goes, it's pretty funny, my Social Security check goes up every couple of months because I keep putting into it. He loved to work. He served in Korea. He was a part of the march of the 144-mile march out. and sub 20 below temperature. Two pairs of socks, one under his armpits. The press to do that at 20, you think it formed how he viewed life? He was shot down in a helicopter, survived. He served as on, was it Johnson's? I forget. Anyway, he was part of the Air Force One before it was a jet. Served on the thing as a part of the crew and did that stuff for 3-4 years. Traveled all over the world. But he loved to work. We'd have these meetings at night because he closed all the time because his wife, for whatever reason. And then the guy would say, hey, we're going to shut down early. Does anybody have a problem with that? Yeah, you're shorting me money. Everybody else was like, yeah, we're fine. And he'd just walk away irritated. I want to work. He loved to work. Where's that love for work? What, is that being lost? Could that affect your maturity level? Young people love to work. There's nothing like accomplishment. Seeing yourself being able to do something and complete it, growing in it. So again, they were needing the milk. Number three, another interesting thing. They were unaccustomed to the word of righteousness. Milk will not cause you to be accustomed to the word of righteousness. Then there's three things that stuck out to me that from this text of what they should have been. Kind of the flip side. You ought to be teachers. What is he saying? I've invested in you. I've taught you. You should be farther along in the process. You know what's one of the best ways to learn a subject? Teach a subject. Because you can't fake it when you're teaching it. You got to know the material, or all of a sudden you're like, Moving on. Next question. That's part of the maturing process, the ability to take truth and teach truth. It's going to cause you to mature. It's going to cause you to grow. I believe what's happened is we tend to break everything up into segments. I have my spiritual walk. That's separate from my vocational walk. And that's separate from my family walk. I've seen people very spiritually mature, very financially immature. Because they're not all the same. They're not all the same subject. It's like being good at history but bad at math. Solid food is for the mature. What do you think? What do you think when the writer here of Hebrews is what is solid things? I mean, repentance was this elementary. Sometimes I wonder if we're even doing the elementary things well at times. Do we struggle there? Solid food. Could that be the hard things of life? How about walking your life through a divorce, hardship, maybe sickness or death? Those are hard things. There's no easy answers. Oh, just love Jesus, bless God, hallelujah. Oh, it's feeling a little short right now. You got to chew through those things, work through some of that stuff, and allow that to happen. And then it says, but he was saying, you should be there. You should be dealing with these things, but you're still here. You're not where you're supposed to be. And the third thing was is that if you train your senses, you'll be able to discern good and evil. Anybody ever been tricked or deceived? Could it be because of your level of immaturity in that subject and that situation cause you to be vulnerable? As you grow, because now I guarantee you know, white. There was a song, Once Bitten, Twice Shy. I've been there once, not happening again. See, we learn. Do you learn from your mistakes? Are you a repeat offender? Well, man, every time I do this, the same result. I don't understand. I don't see the problem with driving 95 miles an hour down the freeway. I did that once, got arrested. I was on my way to Master's Commission, a little late. They shut down the highways. Highway 2 was closed for like 6 hours. I was supposed to meet my mom in Spokane, and it's now 10 o'clock, and I'd left 4 hours before her, and I stopped off to see some girls. Bad idea. So I was doing 95, and I see this car, man, he's really catching up. So I slow down, pulls me over. I'd heard one time, if you can get to the police officer before they start writing the ticket, sometimes you get out of a ticket. So I jump out of the car. That didn't go over well. I had a shaved head at the time, and that didn't go over well. Spent the rest, next couple hours in the back of the police car trying to explain to the officer why I was trying to go to this Christian program because I had issues. I lacked immaturity. I had some immaturity issues. I was trying to. He said, well, he let me go and said, here's a reckless driving ticket. Slow down. Thanks, officer. Appreciate it. 18 years old. I knew everything. Had all the answers. But I wasn't trained in discerning good and evil. As you mature, you also have an ability to rightly define the consequences of a decision. I mean, I love these videos of these kids. You know, they do, you know, these, they, you know, jump off buildings, and then you watch, or there was this one, this guy climbed all the way up between two things and gets about six stories up, and he's realizing, because he's like Spider-Maning up between two sides, and then he gets to the top and falls. It's like in that moment, as he's falling, as he realizes, probably not going to be able to do this tomorrow. Broke a leg, you know, dislocated hips, shattered your spine. The consequence for that decision, right? So then maybe that causes the mature person says, yeah, I'll pass. I'm good. I'm good on that decision. They were still babes needing, and they should have been mature teachers. We are called to grow, not just age. This year, my grandfather died, 90 years old, but he still wanted to grow. At my birthday, he'd write scriptures and what God was doing in his life and what God was happening. If you're breathing, God wants you to mature. It's not like you never arrive. If you're waiting for the arrival moment of life, I have news for you. When you get there, he's going to want you to go somewhere else. You know, in Philippians 3, it says, Paul's writing to the church of Philippi, and he says, not that I've laid hold of it yet, but this one thing I do, I press on towards the upward call. That was like 18 months before he died. He had written 2/3 of the New Testament. But he's saying, I still got to press to go forward. I can't just stay neutral. I just can't stay here. I got to press. There's got to be a hunger and a drive to grow. I remember there's moments in your life that are monumental. And I remember when Tammy was pregnant, go to the appointment, and the doctor says, hey, you want to hear the heartbeat? And I'm like, do I want to hear the heartbeat? Sure. And all of a sudden you start hearing this rapid, and it's like, oh my gosh. And you realize it's not her heartbeat, but it's this baby. And all of a sudden, my purpose changed. I'm now to provide, to protect, to guard, to honor that life. We didn't know her name. We didn't know anything about it. But something all of a sudden happened. There was a switch. There was a change. I was, how old was I, 28? For 28 years, I was all about Jimmy. Little Jimmy. I got married, yeah. You know, but there's something different about children that causes there to be a massive switch. for maturity. Because you're no longer thinking about you. You don't even plan vacations around yourself. Christmas is no longer about you. Everything changes. How you spend your money, how you do life, everything is about them. Because you're maturing. You're choosing no longer to think of self. I put down five things that you have to go through as you mature. Number one, I said it earlier, it's the title, The Press. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore leave the elementary teachings of Christ. Let us press on to maturity. Maturity is not guaranteed. You got to be willing to press. You're going to have to be willing to fight. You're going to have to push past. There might be even good people in your life that might say, you're crazy for walking with God. That's silly. Don't do that. You got to press past. You know, there's that scripture where even family can be a hindrance. Not that you should disown family, but you have to press past maybe their thoughts, their limitations. And say, you know what, I'm going to press on because I feel called to this. This is something God's put in my heart. I just can't wait by. I have to act upon what God's done. So a determining factor of your level of maturity is going to be the level of your press. And then it's also going to be how long you press for. What did it say of Caleb? Man, he went on a tour with Joshua, and something got a hold of him. He saw something. And the rest of them, they brought back a report. And something happened. He was 40 years old or 45. And for the next 40 years, he couldn't let it go. I'm going up to that. That mountain is my inheritance. Those giants where they live, that's my home. There's a new sheriff in town, and it's Caleb. You want my house. I'm coming for you. And it says at 85, he hadn't lost his press. His press had not waned. Are any of us had a press that time has killed? Is there anything in your life that you really believed and hoped for, but time has quenched the fire? I want to say there's a revival of the passion and the call of God. Those old bones can still live. That passion can be rekindled. It doesn't have to be over just because time has gone by. Just because you're not as young as you used to be doesn't mean the passion has to leave. The press, the push to go beyond. Number two, to grow in maturity, you got to be willing to walk in obedience. Listen to this in Hebrews 5. Verse 8. And having been made perfect, he became to us all, in obedience to him, the source of eternal life and salvation. If we just obey, we have access. And then in verse 8, this is the story of him. How did Jesus, it says, though he was the Son of God, he learned obedience, not from what he did, but what he suffered. Sometimes to obey, you might have to suffer. You might have to stand in the midst and say, hey, wait a second. Remember one time I was at Home Depot and these guys are ripping the Bible, saying how it's so inaccurate and all this stuff. And I said, you guys, do you guys realize that there's more better transcripts of the Bible than there is of the writings from Romeo and Juliet? and you don't doubt that, well, what are you talking about? Oh, you didn't know that? You're just spouting off like you know everything. Shakespeare's writings weren't all, no, they're not all first generational. They're copies of copies. And you don't doubt the copy. And all of a sudden, I mean, it kind of, and then of course I was branded one of those Christian weirdos. But were you willing to obey? Are you willing to stand for what's right? Are you willing to do what God asks? Obedience sometimes is not who's right or wrong. It's whether you will obey. I mean, again, kids are such a microcosm of yourself. Because they say things that you think that you would never say out loud. They just say them out loud. And it's always, when it comes to who's going to do what, it's always who's right or wrong. And you're always like, it doesn't matter. You're going to do this because I said so. Well, who made you? Why do I have to live? And then we argue and go around or whatever. But sometimes that's the main issue. Yeah. Are you willing to surrender your right to be right? I mean, Jesus says, men, I want you to be like me when it comes to your spouse. And we all scratch our head. What you mean? I want you to so love that you would sacrifice all. Give it all up for the body. Just as Christ loved the church, you so love your wife. Now, wives, if that happened every single day, and there was never a missed moment that the husband missed, might some of the conflicts be resolved? I know in my life that... There's a lot of arguments around my inability to want to die to self, to give my life for hers, to make the ultimate sacrifice. Am I willing to humble myself? But it's the Hawks, honey. The store now? But the Seahawks are on. Okay, after the game. Well, they're talking about the Huskies. I just a moment. Well, I got to watch it. This debate is so important. I mean, this could change the world. You're changing yours. Number three, things you have to do to be, you got to be a great listener. Verse 11. Concerning, I have much to say, but it's hard for me to explain since you have become dull of hearing. How many of you listen, but you don't pay attention? Like, I could say what you said, but I'm not really engaged. But you gotta, if you want to grow in maturity, if you want to truly understand something, you can't just be like flippantly, yeah, sure. But you got to listen. Because that's where the message is. It's not in the words, but to get his heart, to get his mind, to kill the fly that hunters around my Bible. You got to listen to the message, to hear his heart, to hear those things. And so many times we just think it's just, well, hey, if I can recite what you said. But in there, in your listening, if you listen with ears to understand, that the heart, I mean, what was Paul's prayer to the Ephesians? That the heart, that your heart would be enlightened, that the eyes of your heart would be open, that there's a different dimension than just the natural, that you can hear what's taking place. And he says, I got all these things, but it's hard for me to explain to you because your hearing has become dull. So we have to be good listeners to grow in maturity. Number four, the one no one likes. Your response to discipline. Wouldn't it just be wonderful if every time you tried to tell your kid to do something, they just said yes? Yes, dear. Yes, 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 Father. Whatever your will is my command. Thank you. I will not. Oh, man. I walk around. I'm the best dad in the world. I even get the look. And they do. I mean, I just got it. Oh, my gosh. It's like trying to broker a World War II peace agreement with the Russians when it comes to bedtime. We're going to bed. No, I'm not going to bed. No, 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 Dad. No, not bed. We're not going. And they run around, and it's just like, oh, my gosh, seriously? Chapter 12 of Hebrews. Verse 11, for discipline for the moment does not seem joyful, but sorrowful. Yet those that have been trained by it afterwards yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's the same word that was used in Hebrews 5 about those that are not trained on solid food, don't know the word of righteousness. Same word. He's saying your ability to respond to discipline is going to affect your level of maturity. It's going to affect your ability to hear the word of righteousness. It's going to cause you to be able to see that which is there and be able to respond to that. But it doesn't, it's even telling you right here, it doesn't seem joyful. My kids at times have said, Daddy, you don't like me. You hate me. Why? Because I'm disciplining. Have I ever prayed those prayers? God, you must not like me. This is not fair. Yeah, I prayed those. They weren't prayers. They're little hissy fits. Guilty. Right? Again, our kids verbalize what we think. They say the things that are there. How well do you respond to that? Do you just kick and scream all day long? Do you go to work? I can't believe what they're asking me to do. In the break room, my boss came to me today. Did you hear what they did to me? Is that not just the wrong? All day long, and you're like, whew. Jim was late to work and he had a bad attitude. Blaming somebody else. Is that a mature response? How do you respond when discipline happens? When correction comes? When the Lord says, hey, Jim, you're out of order. Who do you think you are, God? Telling me I'm out of order. I only give you time to speak to me on Sundays. And it's not Sunday. So please leave. Not your time. Number 5. Solid food. Says that the word of righteousness. That word righteousness. Just. Doing the right thing at all times. Doing it alike to all. Justice, equality, impartiality. Spoken of a judge. Do we tend to have do we respond differently to different people? A mature person that has an ability to be able to go through those things and not react to the past things. Scripture says that love keeps no record of wrong. Some of you have a black book of all the wrongs some people have done. You got to get rid of it. You can't keep that book. You can't keep that scorecard. Take the, and finally, the solid food. Solid food are the hard things. I got an email this week, Tammy and I, and it kind of shook me a little bit to realize the day and age that we live in. It's from Children's Hospital. It says, Dear Tammy, our records show that Lexis Mabry, recently or will turn 13 years old. Under Washington state law, patients aged 13 to 17 may consent to certain services and decisions and information that cannot be disclosed. And because of this, you are no longer going to have access to her medical records. You still can request medical records through Seattle Children's and information of management department as the law allows. I wonder what those services are. Maybe she wants to give a kidney to a kid at school. No, I don't think so. Maybe she wants to donate blood. No. There's 11 states in the United States that says that parents do not need to be consulted and in the cases of abortion. Washington is one of them. I am no longer, as her parent, given parental consent or knowledge of that. So technically, she could go to school. Something could happen. And a counselor could take her to a clinic, and I don't have any right to know. Yeah. Me as a parent of a 13-year-old. So I started to think, I read that, and it just bothered me. I'm like, what? Who made that rule? Where was I? I was asleep. We were asleep at the wheel. So this is not to be politically minded, but this is a reminder that I think at times we choose not to hear the chewy things of life. We avoid the conflicts. So late at night, I just started looking up some things. So I come to one, I thought, well, what are the statistics? You know, we have had Jim Anderson, we do these things, and it kind of started to sit with me a little bit, and so it kind of brought to the forefront this subject, because now they're saying, I have, as her parent, that's a personal thing with her. A 13-year-old.